This is Sunny's.
Adrian, you can run the video, please.
How is it possible that someone with 30 years in the ministry walks away from God, marriage, family, and friends? I had a locked door to my heart that I wouldn't let anyone see. I was struggling with sexual fantasy already by the age of 5. So I lived a double life, like Jekyll and Hyde. Since I was a Christian, and later on a Christian leader, I repressed it the best that I could. I cycled between times of victory and satisfaction in my walk with God, and shame and self-hatred. Things finally came to a head, and I decided to act on my fantasies. I told Marilyn, in front of our children, that I no longer wanted to be married to her.
Just before my birthday, I heard the most rejecting words possible from my husband. I don't love you anymore, and I don't want to be with you. Tears, despair, hurt, confusion, thousands of questions. Do all these years together mean nothing to him? How can he tear our family apart? I determined that day, this is a covenant that we made before God, and I will not give up until I see our marriage restored. After counseling, prayer, and guidelines set into place, we started back into normal life after a year. When he came the second time and told me the same thing, the bottom dropped out of my world.
I gave in to a life of selfishness. While Marilyn sought help in the States, I isolated myself from friends and family. I tried to fill the void in my heart with other women and pornography.
I felt like there was something wrong with me. Why didn't he love me and the kids enough to leave behind the temptations? Each day was an exercise in faith, to walk in the words, promises, and revelation of my identity, and to keep my eyes on the healer and not on the circumstances I was living. My leaders told me to take my daughter and go to my parents' home for 6 months. It was so hard to leave and not know if I would ever return. I cried as I watched my daughter struggle with her pain and her hurt, fought all the feelings of pain and worthlessness, and stood for the covenant we had made 29 years before.
After months away, Marilyn finally came home. My prodigal path was coming to an end.
God showed me that I could not look at my husband's wrongs, hard-heartedness, and faults. But I needed to look into my heart and see where I had hurt, offended, undervalued, and disrespected him. When I came back home, it was my first goal to ask forgiveness for how I had hurt him.
I went to the States for my mother's funeral. Her death proved to be the decisive point in my life. I asked myself, how do you want to live the rest of your life? I went home, determined to change.
The next months were difficult. We were sitting on a volcano filled with emotions, but we had no one we could go to at the time.
With the help of our local church, we found the help we were looking for. For the first time in my life, I opened the door that I had closed because of shame and fear, and brought out all the things that had been going on in my life. A few days later, we had a disclosure. And looking into my wife's eyes, I shared all the things that I had been hiding from her. For me, it brought a great sense of relief. But for Marilyn, it was like I had just vomited all over her.
It was like gutting an old house, and now we needed to rebuild it from the foundation up. Friends from Indiana invited us to spend some time with them, and the process of healing began.
Repentance, deliverance, and cutting off generational sin took place. That was a few years ago, and we continue to walk a path of healing and restoration.
Years later, I can say that God is the healer of broken hearts and of wounded marriages. He put what was broken back together, and He healed our marriage.
God, in His mercy, has restored our vision for marriage and families.
He took away the shame, and He replaced it with His peace and glory. Was it hard? Yes, but God can do the impossible.
God gave me a word concerning our future. He reminded me that there are two destinies for an old car: the junkyard or restoration. And because I'm a classic, my destiny is restoration. I chose to be restored by Jesus Christ. What do you choose?
Just to give a little bit of background, this happened around the year 2008 to 2010. So yeah, it's been like 13 years. And definitely one of the scriptures that that God has spoken as well about is where it talks about beauty for ashes. And that was all I had. You know, I thought I had something to give, but at that point in my life, it was like, I have nothing, you know, to give you. I just have these ashes. And he brought beauty out of them. We weren't looking for ministry to see people recover from and be healed from pornography or marriages. Well, actually, we were doing marriages, but... Yeah, but it's been incredible to see God's mercy and His goodness. We see it all the time.
So what we're doing now is traveling a lot in Spain, dealing with missionaries and leaders, especially that are in difficulty in their marriages. Our YWAM told us this year. They said, "We call you for the hard cases." And sometimes they're really tough, and we cry a lot. We take a lot of time to sit with people and work through things. It's not a quick process always. Usually, not ever. Usually it takes years to take people out. We ourselves were out of ministry teaching English and getting restored for about 3 years. So it's not a quick process, but God's doing it. And we're seeing amazing things happen with couples and families. This morning, during the night, I woke up twice, and I kept hearing this song that someone sang over me when we were separated. He knows my name. He hears every time I call, and He answers. And I just want to put that out there because I don't feel like it was for me. I feel like there's people here that need to hear that this morning, maybe in your marriage. Maybe in some situation, He knows your name, He hears you, and He answers you. And I just want to speak that out. So.
Amen. Another thing that that we're doing is, it was really God's sovereignty. When one of the times that we were here, and I also want to mention that God used Calvary Temple as that, when we talk about local church, when we came to the States, this God used this church to help bring healing and restoration to our lives. So praise God for that. You guys have been, as a church, have been instrumental and special to us. But anyway, we met with Sharon, and she... Yeah, she showed us this video series of, that she had called the Conquer series, and we saw it and were just saying to ourselves that we have to have this for Spain. We heard all the statistics, and it's staggering, not just in the world but in the church, how much pornography is devastating people in the church, even leaders in the church. And it's there needs to be there's an answer. We saw that there was an answer, and so we started using it in Spain, and at that time all they had were subtitles. So people were saying, you know, it's just hard just reading those subtitles, and it's not really, it's difficult for it to get to my heart. So we took it upon ourselves to start a translation and dubbing of all of those 10 videos. There's 10 videos. We did that in our ministry, with our ministry team in YWAM, and it's 26 different voices that need to be put on, and Marilyn did all of the editing, and we had a brother that helped us put it together, and the same person that made this video, and so we've been using that now, and the people are saying, it's like a new video. It's like new. It's impacting my heart now. So we're using this all over Spain, wherever God takes us, and it's impacting lives. It's saving lives. It's saving marriages. It's giving future and a hope to the generations. I want to say that above all, it's something instead of impacting to the DNA level, pornography. It's impacting life-giving all the way to the DNA level in people's lives.
So thank you. We love you guys. We appreciate you. Thanks for standing with us. Terry's been 46 years on the mission field. I've been 44 and a half. So, we're going to keep going. As they were singing this morning, send me. I said, send me, Lord. Send me again. I answered that call a long time ago, but I want to go again. And it might just be across the street for you. It might be across town. It might be another state. God called us to Spain. That's just where we're answering the call. So do what he sends you to. We bless you.
If you would like to help support the days, you can write a check today or tomorrow or next week or whatever, and you put the days in the memo. And then we will make sure the days get those, every it doesn't matter, everything you write to the days will go exactly to the days. We don't take none of that. We don't do none of that stuff. So there is some stuff on a table out there as you leave before you go down to the potato bar. There's some things out there that you can buy, fans and rings and whatever else. So they'll be out there after service. You can talk to them if you want to hand them a. Can you cash checks here? So if you want to hand them a check personally, you can. And make it simple like that, okay? Is that your Shelby? Was that your Mustang? That's what you wish you had, right? Okay. That was a really good video. That put a lot of effort into it. And so I know that you're putting a lot of effort into the Conquer series. And that's a lot of work to dub and do all that and translate all that stuff to get that so you Spanish-speaking people can understand and get it to the heart. So, very good. Let's have our children come forward. Remember, if you have a child 3 to 5 and they are with Miss Robin, before we take communion, go back and get them so you can take communion with them. Father God, we just lift up our children this morning, God. Father, just that you reveal your love to them and your compassion for them, God, this morning. Father, as they hear your voice through the teachers and through the teaching of your word today, God. I pray that you just begin to bless them, Father. Let it sit into their hearts. Let it be seed in their hearts this morning. Father, just love on them this morning, God. Father, bless the teachers as they hear your voice and speak directly to these children, that they hear you. Father, we just pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take about 5 minutes, love on each other. If you see someone you don't know, love on them. If you talk to the days you don't know them, love on them also. All right, testing, testing. If you look at the clock, it's like 10 to 12. I hope you guys are ready for a long message today. We'll do that clip too real quick. All right, as you make your way back to your seats, I said last week that we're going to be a host church for Kaneo. So today we're going to talk about 2 Chronicles 20. As you turn there, we're going to have a video on for Kaneo. If anybody would like to sign up for that, I'm going to go through it. I'm going to go through Kaneo 101, and it's the New Testament, and it takes you through all the New Testaments, some theology and some stuff like that. So, Adrian, if you'd play the clip.
Hello, my name is Karen Smith, and I'm the president of Kaneo Ministry Training Center. I'm so excited that your pastor and your leadership team have said yes to the Kaneo journey, and yes, to host a campus right here at your church. So welcome to the Kaneo family. Your church is now a part of a family of over 40 campuses across the United States of hungry, passionate, and equipped students who will take this journey with you. Registration is now open for the 2024 school year that will begin in January. So don't delay. Register today and secure your spot in the classroom. You don't want to miss out on this opportunity to go deeper in the things of God and grow closer to Him than ever before. Jesus is going to change your life over the next few months through the Kaneo program. And at the end of the school year, you will be a totally different person, trained, equipped, ready to do what God has called you to do, and more in love with Jesus than ever before. So register now, and we will see you in class this January.
That is the QR code if you would like to join. That's the QR code. Also, there the if you put up the syllabus of what they're going to study. So that's tuition. Can't see that one. That's blurry. There's another one that tells you what somewhere. All right. So I'm going to open it up also to the Terre Haute or whoever's on Facebook. I'm going to open it up that way too. So Tuesday night would probably be the night that we will do it. It'll be a two-hour lecture on Tuesday night. Do you have a test over those lectures? Did it come up? Blurry? Too small? All right, we'll get those up. I'll put them on Facebook. You'll be able to see them there. We'll put them out there so you can see them. The QR code, put the QR code up. That will give you some information also. You can click on that with your phones. That's something new. Also, if you didn't know that our church has a QR code for tithe and offering, so we know some people like to use that. We haven't been putting that on, but maybe we'll start doing that because some people do like to use the QR code and do the, what's that kind of pay? Venmo, some of that stuff, I don't know. But all I do know is it works. Cash app, all that stuff that I don't use, but the new generation does. And so, good for you. We will do that. Kaneo is on a church website? No. We'll put it on there. Joanne, we'll send it to you. Maybe. Put it back up. Real quick, and then we'll be done. I am excited about it, so that is a QR code. I've seen Tabitha's life change from it from last year to this year. There's so much growth in her. It's just something that started a fire within her heart. And so instead of making more people come to church, we're making an army. And so the more that you can get in the Word, the more that you can be drawn closer to God, the better off you're going to be. So this morning I want to talk about getting into position. And there's some things that go along with that as you posture yourself and you partner with God. Today I want to open up with 2 Chronicles 20. It's kind of a long read, but I want to talk about Jehoshaphat this morning. And it said it happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, "A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria. And they are in Hazan Tamar, which is En Gedi." Beautiful place in Israel. En Gedi is an oasis in the desert, a beautiful place where David hid from Saul. And I said, it's just east of the Dead Sea. And anyway, and Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before New Court and said, "O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? And they dwell in it. And have you built you a sanctuary? And have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in the temple. And a cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And now here are the people of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt. But they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are, rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possessions, which you have given us to inherit. Oh, our Father, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do. But our eyes are upon you. Now all Judah, with their little ones, their wives, their children, stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehazel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, and the son of Jael, and the son of Mattatina, something like that, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, "Listen, all you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of the great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. O Judah of Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you." And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of Kohites stood up and praised the Lord God of Israel with voice loud and high. So they rose early in the morning and went into the wilderness of Teko. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of the Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness. As they went out before the army and were singing, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Now when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of the Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. So when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were their dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil, they found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies and precious jewelry, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days gathering the spoils because there was so much. There's a lot there to unpack in this scripture, and there's a lot there that the Lord does. How many have trouble hearing the word of the Lord? You ever have trouble hearing God's voice? Do you ever get into a place where, man, I just haven't heard him forever? Or you're getting to a place of man, you pray and nothing, you're not seeing anything happen. So I want to talk to you today about positioning yourself, getting in a posture, and partnering with the Lord. See, in these three actions, you have to do something. It's nothing of the Lord, but you have to do something. You have to get into a place. And so, like when there's, as a baseball, when I played baseball, I didn't realize all the stuff that goes on with baseball. I knew I would get into position, so you go play shortstop and or third base or first base, and you know you go get into the vicinity of the position, right? Now, when each batter comes up or each, there's a different pitcher on the mound, it doesn't matter, it might be left-handed, right-handed, whatever, it depends on the batter, left-handed, right-handed, and you get into position where you think he is going to hit the ball, right? So you'll see the first baseman move over to the right if he thinks he's going to pull it. You see the shortstop, if you think he's going to be late, he's moving towards second base. He's getting position. As you watch the professional baseball players, you'll see them, I don't even know if they allow them to do it anymore, but that they get way out of their position and play the way the guy is usually going to hit the ball. The statistics show that this guy will hit the ball here most of the time. So they play the statistics and they'll leave a hole open. So what they're doing is they're getting in a position to receive the ball. Football's the same way. You have formations that you get into, I formations, defensive formations you get into, and if you do not get in the correct position of where you're supposed to play, that running back or whatever or wide receiver will get out in front of you and catch the ball or run right through you. He'll run through the hole. Basketball's the same way. You got a position to make. My wife has the positions to make. She has positions. If she is going to cook us dinner, she has to get into the kitchen. Right? If I'm going to work on her car, I'm going to change the oil, I have to get in position. I can't stand up and change the oil because I don't have a lift in my garage, so I have to get on the ground. I have to get on the ground in a position to unbolt the drain plug. We have to get into position to do certain things, and most things in our life, we have to get into position. When you go to work, you get into position to do your job, right? You just can't do your job from the office if you have an office. You can't do your job from the break room because you're not in position to do the job. We have to get into position for the Lord. Position means a place to set, stand, or station oneself, present oneself, a place where someone or something is located or has been put, a particular way in which someone or something is placed or arranged. In a position. You got to be in a position. Everything we do requires you to get in position. To this morning, you had to get into position. You got into position to come to receive from the Lord this morning. Where are you at today? You're in a spot that you got to position yourself to get into a spot to receive from the Lord. You believe that? You believe the Lord can just, and I believe the Lord can come because I look at Saul of Tarsus. He's going down the road of going to Damascus, and he's been persecuting the Jews and killing. He's a murderer. He's doing all kinds of stuff. But he gets in this one spot, and the Lord comes down like lightning and speaks to him. Blinds his eye. He got into a place. The Lord met him in a place. And then he goes to Ananias, and he goes to this house where he's resting for 3 days. He's blinded. He's seeking God. He don't understand why. Ananias comes in and tells him, here's what's going to happen. We got to get into position to receive from the Lord. In our opening scripture in 2 Chronicles 23, it says, and Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judea. Why did he do that? He got into a position. There was nothing he could do amongst himself. But what he did was he got into a position that says, you know what? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to set my face to the Lord. I'm going to seek him. I'm going to get into position for the Lord. And then I'm going to do something. I'm going to stay a fast for the nation. I want to get into a place to receive from the Lord because there's nothing I can do of myself. See, to hear from God, there are some ways that there's some things we must do. We must have to hunger after his presence. If you do not hunger after the presence of the Lord, you're going to have a hard time hearing him. You have to engage in a conversation with him. You have to engage in hunger for him. If you haven't ate for 10 days and you see something on the table and you might not like it, it might be something, it might be like broccoli, you know. And it's like, oh, I'm so hungry, I need to eat that. You got to be hungry enough to chase after God. You got to be hungry enough for his presence in your life. The world, why these churches around the United States are not filled up is because the world is not hungry for God. We have Christians in our city that are not hungry for the word of God. They'll stay home. We have people that are not hungry for a move of God, that they will not get excited for what God is doing. That's just the way it is all across the world. Now, if we go into China, you know, they're underground church. These people are hungry for the presence of God. They will lose their life for it. We're not that way. We don't get hungry enough for God's presence unless there's something going on in our life. Second thing is you need to humble yourself at his feet. You need to humble yourself at his feet. Why do I say that? Because if I'm standing up upright, I'm in a proud position. I deserve. But when I humble myself at his feet, I place myself in a position of saying, God, I don't deserve anything, but all I know is you are the only way. I get into a humbled position, face down before him. Humbled at his feet, you know, your nose in the carpet, wrapped around his feet, wrapped around his legs, and you're saying, you know what, there is nothing I can do, Lord. The third thing is don't move. Don't move. We get so anxious that we move out of the position to receive. I haven't heard nothing for a half hour. The Lord hasn't touched me in my home for 6 months. I don't know why he hasn't showed up like he has in church. I don't know why he hasn't showed up like he did over here. But he hasn't showed up. What are you supposed to do? Stay. Stay. Stay until he shows up. He'll show up. The fourth thing is rely on him to show up. No plan B. No plan B. You got to rely on him to show up. We, as Americans, we always have a plan B. There's the internet out there, right? There's the internet out there to ask whatever you want to ask, and it will give you an answer. Nowadays, as Sean talked, that the AI is out there, they will give you an answer. They will have an answer. And I know that I've seen a question where somebody asked AI, who is Jesus? And it gave this whole description. See, the Bible tells us that Jehoshaphat was in dire need of the Lord. He is surrounded by his enemies. Have you ever been surrounded? You ever been to a place in your life like there's no escape? Could be a disease. It could be just anything in your life that you just feel like you're just encamped. There's nothing you can do. As I look at the nation of Israel right now, This has surprised me, and I wonder what God would do. The scripture today relates to what's going on in Israel today. Hamas came in, not quite, but now they're being surrounded. Iran's coming into the picture, Hezbollah, there's all kinds of stuff coming into the picture and surrounding Israel. I wonder if they would did what Jehoshaphat did. But I haven't seen Ben Netanyahu call the nation of Israel together and get on their face before the Lord. I haven't heard that. I would think that if they have done that, you would hear that all over the world. Ben-Yahu has called the nation to a fast. Benjamin Netanyahu. And you would see pictures all over the internet of the Jewish people on their face before the Lord. They know there's a God. They just don't know about Jesus. Oh, the media, yeah. Why wouldn't they do that? They know the Word of God. They know this story. They know that Jehoshaphat went down and said, God, I can't do anything. I'm going to call a fast. I'm coming before you. And then we're going to see that he gets face down with the children and the people of Israel, of Judea. I wonder what would happen if the people of Israel would get on their face before the Lord. See, to hear from the Lord, we don't need to be in a bad place. We don't need to have an encampment of the enemy around us. We don't need that. We just need to get in a position to hear the Lord. We got to get into a position to hear Him, into a mind state, into a place in the heart that we hear the Lord. See, we just need to have a hunger for Him, right? We need to have a hunger for Him. And I know there's people in this church that are hungry after God. They're hungry after Jesus. They are hungry after the things of God. And they are putting themselves in a position to receive from Him. And what I'm hearing is God is moving. When you put yourself in a position to receive from the Lord, He is going to show up. It's an amazing thing when you can't even fathom it. But when you put yourself in the position and He shows up. You want to get back in that position again, right? You want to get back in that same place. You want to get back in that same mode of attitude and say, God, man, that was so amazing that you touched me. I want it again. You got to be hungry for Him. See, Jesus positioned Himself for the Father, right? Do you believe that? That He positioned Himself? Over and over and over and over again. It says in Mark 1:35, now in the morning, having risen long while before daylight, He went out and departed to a solitary place, and He, what? Prayed. Luke 4:42 says that Jesus departed and went out into a deserted place. What did He do there? In Luke 5:16, So He Himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Where did He hear the Father at? In a place of separation from other people. He would go get away to get away from the clatter, the clanging, the voices, and all the stuff. He would go and get away from all the distractions of life. He even got away from His disciples because he needed a place to hear the Lord. He got into a position to hear the Father. This is what we need to do. We got to get into a position. We can do this at home. We can do this on Wednesday night. It's a major part of my life is to get it before the Lord and get into a position to hear His voice. Because I can do absolutely nothing of myself. You guys can do that. You can do all kinds by yourself, but there is absolutely nothing you can do in the kingdom by yourself. You cannot do it. It will not be blessed. So the first thing we have to do is position ourselves to receive. We have to get in that place. You know, it might not be a physical place, but it's a place in the mind. It's a place in the heart that you have to get to. The next thing is posture. Posture means the position in which someone holds their body when standing or sitting. A particular way of dealing with or considering something, an approach or an attitude. See, our posture can give expressions of the attitude of the heart. Do you believe that? That your posture can give an attitude of what's going on inside of you? The Bible says, right? The Bible tells us that out of the heart, the what speaks? How many would like to take some of those words back that you have spoke from the heart? We've tore down spouses. We've tore down children. We've tore down people because of what we had in our heart that we destroyed people by them. Because what came out of our mouth, you cannot bring that word back. You cannot bring that word back that has been spoken. Our posture reveals what's going on in the heart. You know, you see Christians, they'll raise their arms like this. What's that mean? Surrender. What's this mean? We have all kinds of levels of worship, right? Gimme, 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 right? You have this one here. They're getting into a posture of receiving. But here's the favorite one right here.
On your face.
That's where you're going to receive. You're going to get before the Lord on your face. Because this is the humblest place to be. On the dirty floor. In between someone's feet. The posture of your attitude. Where is your heart? The pride sits in the heart, right? You know, I remember walking through high school. I'd square my shoulders up, and I'd walk through high school, and if somebody tried, I'd just walk right through them, right? You wanted that. That was the posture. That was the posture. So when they seen you coming down the hallway, they knew you was already squared up, right? You guys remember that stuff in high school? And then you had that guy that was pretty tough, too, from another school, especially when you get into all the junior highs come to the high school and everybody's bidding for the top spot, right? So you square up, and this other guy's squaring up, and you're going to hit him, you know. You're not going to fight him, but you're going to show who's stronger. And most of the time you see people do this. Get out of your way. But the posture was, I'm tougher than you. I have pride. That's what the posture was. I didn't have the humility. I did have humility, but I was representing myself in a different way. God sees how we represent ourselves by how we carry ourselves. See, out of the heart, our posture is revealed. From how we stand, how we worship. Your posture on how you worship reveals what's really in your heart. How you pray in a posture reveals where you're really at in your heart effect of praying. When you're trying to say, God, man, when you're desperate, when you are desperate for God to move, you're not standing up like this. That's a surrendered spot. I'm desperate. I'm getting on my face. I'm getting before the Lord. If my marriage is falling apart, I'm getting before the Lord because I got to get desperate for Him. I need Him to move in my life, and I got to find a place that He will see that I am undone. It's not me anymore. I've done with everything. I can't do anything else, and it has to be all Him. See, most people want God to do all the work. Most people want to pray and have God do all the work, right? I hear it all the time. I mean, from Christians and non-Christians, I hear it all the time. You know, I'll just pray. Okay, God, what's He going to do? I'm just going to rub the bottle, right? We rub the bottle, and God will act. And if He don't act, I'll get mad because God didn't move. Right? God is not going to do all the work. See, we want Him to fill us up with everything without the correct heart attitude. We want to do anything that we want to do, but we want God to fill us up without the right attitude in our hearts. Attitude has a lot to do with your Christian life. You know what? Maybe we don't have a drummer up here today. Maybe we don't have a guitar player today. And maybe we don't have a piano player today, but I have two ladies, two beautiful ladies that are pouring their heart out in worship. And what I do know is my heart, I don't care what the song is, but my heart has got to come to a place of I'm in an attitude of worship. I'm in an attitude, and I'm going to position myself and put my person into a posture of receiving God. God, I am here for You, and no matter what, I'm only here because I want to worship You. I'm not here to receive anything today, but I'm here to worship You and just know and give You glory. That's why I'm here. Then I'm here to hear a word of God. I'm here to hear a word from God, but that's a communication thing because this is the way He established it. And so we can look at all kinds of things around us, And what posture are you putting yourself in when you begin to worship the Lord? Oh man, I didn't like that music. Maybe I didn't like that kind of music that was on the TV today. But you know, the words were good. But where was your posture at? Your attitude was wrong. Your attitude was not in the right place. And so you got to get into a place of, God, it doesn't matter. I'm going to worship you with all I have. So your posture will reveal to God your true heart. Look at this in 2 Chronicles 20, 6 through 12. Well, look what Joseph did. He put himself. Let me go back here. And the children of Israel in a position before the Lord and proclaimed a fast. The Bible tells us that he began to pray and reminded the Lord of the history and the promises God had made. Listen to that. Listen to that. He reminded the Lord what God did in the past. He said, God, here's what I know. He said, O Lord God, our Father, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might so that no one is able to withstand you? He's telling him who God is. He said, are you not God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? Don't you remember Abraham, God? And then he says, and they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes on us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple, and in your presence, your name is in this temple, and cry out. We will stand in your presence and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. You have to go back in Scripture to see what God was saying. And now, here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade, for they come out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. Who were they? They were Lot's people. He was not going to allow them to take them out. Here's what Jehoshaphat's saying. He said, you would not allow the Israelites that came out of Egypt to destroy them. Now here they are standing before me. God, you had this planned. He was reminding God of Deuteronomy 2. Listen to this. Deuteronomy 2:4. It says, and command the people, saying, you are about to pass through the territory of your brethren, the descendants of Esau, and who live in Seir, and they will be afraid of you. Therefore, watch yourselves carefully. He didn't tell them to go in and kill them. And in Deuteronomy 2:9, it says, then the Lord said to me, do not harass Moab, nor contend with them in battle, for I will not give you any of their land as a possession, because I have given our heir to the descendants of Lot as a possession. 2:19, Deuteronomy. And when you come near the people of Ammon, do not harass them or meddle with them, for I will not give you any of the land of the people of Ammon as a possession, because I have given it to the descendants of Lot as a possession. So Jehoshaphat basically said, God, you told your people not to touch them. Don't touch them. And now they're coming up against us? Why is that, God? I don't understand. There's nothing I can do. I'm surrounded by these people. I am surrounded. And now they're coming up against us? These are the people that you told us not to destroy. This is years back. Jehoshaphat's crying out, reminding God. You know, there's the times in our life we need to remind God what he has done in the past. We need to remind God what the scriptures say. There's something to that. There's something to that when your eyes or ears are going blind and deaf, and you say, you know what, God? Your son healed the blind eyes. Looky here. Looking at the pool of Bethesda, or not the pool of Siloam. Look, the lame and crippled man got in. You healed him. God, remember this. 2 Chronicles 2:20 says, "O our God, will you not judge them?" He's asking, "Oh God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do." God, I don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. He postured himself and he said, "No, here's where I'm at. My eyes are going to be upon you. I positioned myself in front of you, God. I'm positioning the whole nation in front of you, and now our eyes are going to be upon you because this is my posture. Because I want to know. Here it is, God. You know these people. You know. You know what happened in times past. And my eyes are going to be upon you." See, there is a posture we must get into. There is a place that we must get into. If we're having trouble in our marriage, there is a posture that we got to get into. There has to be a place where we have to get to a place of, "I'm done. I'm done with this, and I surrender to this crap that's going on in my life. I surrender to this stuff." You have to get to that place of, "I'm done, and I'm hungry for the Lord, and I'm hungry for what God has for me and my wife. I'm hungry for that." And what I'm seeing now in me and my wife's life, as she is getting on fire with the Lord, that there's a compassion that is going together with me, her, and the Lord. And we can discuss the scriptures, and we can discuss what God is doing. And that's an amazing thing when you can do that. There is a story I read. It was about World War II. A soldier got separated from his other guys, his other company, and they're on this island, and he's running from the enemy, and there's hills and mountains around, and he's running, and he runs up this hill, and there's caves all around. And as he gets into the cave, away from the enemy, he's by himself, he's got his shot, he's got his rifle, and he's in this cave. He gets far back into the cave as he could go, and he hears the enemy coming. He hears him coming, climbing the hill. And he said, "God, I don't know what else to do. I'm in this place. I have no escape. I don't know what to do, God. I need you." And as he's sitting in the cave and hearing the soldiers coming up the hill, checking each and every cave that is in that hill, he sees this spider beginning to make a web. And he said, "God, you sent me a spider? Why would you send me a spider? God, I need something more than a spider." And when those soldiers get to the mouth of the cave, he hears the soldiers say, "Oh, no one's in here. There's a web here. No one's been in this cave." And they move on. God can use anything and everything. Don't worry about what he uses. It might not look like you think it's going to look. But you got to trust in God. You got to trust him in what he is saying and doing. You got to get in that place of that position and that posture to hear him and say, "God, there's nothing left in me." The next thing we have to do, and you see Joseph do it, is he partners with God. He partners with them. See, we must be able to trust God's plan. We must be able to trust the small spider making a web in your cave. There is a reason God does what he does. But then we must execute God's plan. We must execute God's plan. It says now in 2 Chronicles 20:13, it says, "Now all Judah with their little ones, their wives, and their children stood before the Lord." Positioned and postured themselves before the Lord. And then it says, "The word of the Lord came through his prophet Jehazel." And Jehazel means God looks or Yahweh sees. So God spoke to his prophet that says God looks and he sees what's going on around you. He sees it. He knows it. And then I'm going to read 2 Chronicles 20:15
through 17, it says, "And he said, listen, all you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours." Your battle is not yours. You call upon the Lord God Almighty, the battle's not yours. He is going to fight the enemy for you, but there's some things that you got to do to get in place and position for that. You have to do things in your life. You cannot say, here I am, God, do it for me. You have to walk out the things and walk out the things in your life. You have to be obedient in your life. You just can't just say, God, here I am, do it. You got to do it yourself. You got to get off your butt and you got to say, you know what, I've had enough. He said, do not be afraid nor dismayed, this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz. He's telling them exactly which way they're going to come up the valley. And you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight this battle. But he says, listen to this, position yourself and stand. Stand still, don't move, stand still. And see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Isn't that amazing? Could you trust the Lord in that? You got a prophet that stands up in this church. There's maybe you don't know him, maybe you do know him. Maybe it's somebody in this church. They get up and they give a word. And they tell you some crazy thing to do. Would you trust it? Here you got a nation. You got warriors all around. And he says, here's what the word of the Lord says. When did the word of the Lord come? After they positioned themselves and after they got on their face before the Lord. All the nation, children, men, women, get on their face before the Lord. And then God speaks to Jehazel. See, the prophet Jehazel gave Jehoshaphat the plan of the Lord. Jehoshaphat didn't get it by himself, but he gave it to a man of God that was listening. Jehoshaphat couldn't partner with God, or he could have chose not to partner with God, or he could have chose to partner with God. It was his choice. The word of the Lord came. Now it's a choice. Are you going to follow it or are you not? When Jehoshaphat and all the people got into position and postured themselves before the Lord, the word of the Lord came. Right? So when you partner with the word of the Lord, there's victory. Just think if Jehoshaphat, when you read the rest of this, as you read the rest of it, he says he appointed people to sing. He appointed people to worship. God didn't say it. Jehoram never said, send out the worshipers. Never said it. Jehoshaphat said, I appoint people to worship God for what he's about to do. I trust in the word of the Lord, and I appoint people to worship. And so what's he do? He takes the people that he appoints to go out and sing praise, and holy is the Lord God, and worthy is who he is, and they put him out front. And as they begin to move, as they begin to go out to the brook, see, they left the place where they were at. They left that place on the face where they were face down before the Lord, and they begin to move out into position themselves for the battle. Even though the battle wasn't theirs, it was the Lord's, they had to put themselves in a position to let the Lord win the battle for them. We cannot stand back and do nothing. We cannot stand back and not fight for our marriages and think God is going to put it back together. You cannot stand for your marriages and think Mark's going to put them back together. It ain't going to happen. You got to go out and do stuff for yourself. You have to quit doing the things you were doing. You have to get face down before the Lord. You have to get surrendered before him, and you have to say, I am undone. My heart is an open book. I am open to you, God. Whatever there is, there cannot be no pride in my life. I cannot be afraid of what I've done in the past. But I have to be able to be open to God to say, here I am. I'm open. Now he can use you. Not be afraid to walk out into the battle. You cannot be afraid to walk out into the battle because the victory is his. I wonder if the Lord knew, which he probably did, this battle was going to come. So the Lord knows everything, right? He was giving Jehoshaphat a chance to say, I choose you, to make a great story in the book of, in the Bible, and to express the things that we need to do. See, the thing is we were talking last night, and sometimes when you go through those trials and situations, there is something that happens after that. And I love this analogy, and they talked about the lion that was killed by Samson, and after a course of time, it was beneficial. There was honey that grew in the carcass. After the battle, and after a course of time, there was provision in the carcass. There was a provision in that place when it looked bad on the outside, when, you know, Samson had to fight this lion. But over a course of time, after the battle was over and after the conflict was done, there was a provision that God placed in the lion. How many battles have you fought? How many battles have you fought in your marriage that there is a provision that God is going to place in there after it's all over? There is a growth and a freshness of the battle that you have fought. You know, sometimes we have battles in our life to grow us stronger, to make us stronger, to make us tougher. There's battles that you're going to have to go through. Life is not going to be easy. But I tell you what, if you are steadfast in the Lord and you put your face to the floor and seek the Lord with all your heart, you're going to find he answers you. Because those battles are not yours. All you have to do is turn towards him. So as we close today, position, posture, you know the last one? Huh? No plan B. How about partner with God? Position, posture, and partner with God. A lot of times we want a partner without the position and posture. You ever think about that? I see it all the time. We see it all the time. You see it in the church all the way. We don't want to position or posture ourselves, but we want to go out and do the work of the Lord. We want to go out and heal the sick, and we want to go out and tell everybody about Jesus, and that's a great thing, but we don't got in that position of posture. We have no authority in what we're doing because we haven't got into the position and authority of the Lord because there's no posture in it. There's no attitude of the heart that says, man, God, there is nothing in me, but shine through me. Shine through me, God. So when you humble yourself, the Bible always, I read the Bible, and it tells us that when you are invited to a room or invited to a place, it says, take the lowest seat. Take the lowest seat. Don't go and take the highest seat. You allow the person of the house to elevate you to the highest seat. We got to have that posture of humility. Constantly have that posture of humility, and God will do everything else. He is an amazing God. He's amazing what his word says and how it lines up. You ever read the word and say, man, that is so amazing. And God, I just went through that. I just went through that stuff, God. And your word, here's how your word said that it would happen. And here's what happens after it. And that's so amazing that you can read the word and it's alive today, right? Is the word still alive today? See, we see in a story how to position ourselves before the Lord. Once we get into position, we have the right heart and posture for God. Then we begin to partner and move with him. This is when the amazing things happen. See, we get to move through him, through our calling from him. Each one of you have a calling, are you right? Each one of you have a calling of God upon your life. Everyone, every kid, child in the back room has a calling on their life. How are we going to nurture that calling in their life? How are we going to nurture the calling in all of your lives? How are we going to nurture that? But here's one thing I do know. My job here at this church is to get on my face. Because nothing comes from no prayer. You got to have prayer. You got to be able to seek the Lord. You got to position yourself, posture yourself, and then you watch God move. You partner with Him. See, there may be some people that have never heard the word of the Lord today in their life. Maybe they've never had an experience with the Lord today. It's time to position yourself. He says, go to the closet, right? Go to the closet. Put the, what do you call that? The press shawl over your head. That's the closet. Get into a place of God is just me and you. As Jesus went out into the wilderness, he got away from the chaos. He got away from all the mess. Even his disciples, his close friends, he got away from them because he needed to hear the word of the Lord. Sometimes your wife or your husband might not know why you're going away, but just tell them, I got to go be with the Lord. I got to spend some time with the Lord. I have to because I got to get myself in a place, in a position, in a posture to lead this family. I got to get into a place to lead my life and get the direction for my life. I got to get to that place. Husbands and wives, honor that. Not that they're going out doing other things, but honor that they get into a position to receive from the Lord. Not just to receive, but give to the Lord. So if you're here today and you really need a touch from the Lord, position yourself. Just put a small clip on music, instrumental. If you need to position yourself before the Lord, now's the time. There is no pride. There is nothing that can... Or if you have pride, it's time to get rid of it. It's time to destroy it. Pride will only destroy you, right? Father, I just come before you today. Father, and I just thank you for the stories in the Bible, the true stories in the Bible that reveal so much. In 25 verses, God. In 25 verses, you tell us how to position ourselves and humble ourselves before you. Father, all over the earth, people are rising up against people. And Father, we need to be in a place to hear your voice. We need to be in a place to hear the direction that you call us to. And we need to be in a place that we can partner with you, Lord. Father, as I hear stories that there's cities and states in our United States right now there's attacks being planned for them right now. All over the United States, there's things being, people are being, we're getting ready to attack our nation. Father, I pray that the church begin to rise up. Not only rise up, but fall on their face. And they get into a position, God, to vanquish all enemies' plans. Father, you're here to... The battle is not ours, but it's yours, Lord God. And from the foundations of the earth, you sent your Son into the earth. And you told us that nation would rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. And there will be people that will not like us because of you. But God, here we are. We're still standing. We're still on our face before you, God. And our hearts are open before you. So this morning, God, as each and every one has heard this story of Jehoshaphat and Judah and being surrounded by the enemy that you left, God, for a time. Father, for every situation and problem in people in this church's life, in the marriages, children, discipline, Father, I pray that now they will begin to get to a place of reverence before you, God. They will get to a place in their heart, God, that has a place of pride. Be broken right now in Jesus' name. Pride come off right now in Jesus' name. And Father, let that pride be just fall away. And let the heart be open. The Bible says if you confess your sins one to another, sometimes we need to confess to our wives and to our husbands. We need to confess some things. Once that is confessed, it's an open book and the enemy can't use it. So the battle is yours, Lord. But the object is us to walk towards you. You've already ran after us, so we just walk towards you, Lord. We run after you and we hunger and thirst for you. So, Father, I pray over this message today, Father, that you will bless each and every one this morning. That you will call them out, Lord. That you will call them out in those times of despair. You will call them out in those times of when it looks like they are surrounded, God, when it looks like nothing else can happen, when it looks like nothing else and no one can defeat the enemy and no one can defeat the problem. They come to you, Lord, face down, face down. As Jehoshaphat said, there's nothing I can do. There's nothing I can do. We'll be here after church if you would like prayer. But as we turn to the table this morning, Jesus said, I will not partake of this with you again until you come into the kingdom.